ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். விவேக சூடாமணி, ஸ்லோகா 93. புத்தீந்திரியாணி ஸ்ரவணம் த்வகக்ஷி ஜிஹ்வா விஷயாவபோதனாத் வாக்பாணி பாதாகுதமப்யுபஸ்த கர்மேந்திரியாணி ப்ரவணேன கர்மசு. ஆக்சுவலி ஹியர் தர் குட் பி சம் வேரியேஷன் இன் த டெக்ஸ்ட் டிபெண்டிங் ஆன் வாட் டெக்ஸ்ட் யூ ஹேவ். சம் ரீடிங் டிஃபரன்ஸ் மைட் பி தேர். ஆஸ் ஐ மென்ஷன்ட் இன் த பிகினிங் இட் செல்ஃப், ஐ ஃபாலோ தி சமதா புக்ஸ் விச் வாஸ் originally the Vani Vilas publication of the Sringeri Math. So I follow that text, and if there is any difference, please, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, you are aware of that. So with the previous shloka, shloka 92, the sthula shariram, the grass body, that topic was concluded. So we mentioned that it started with shloka 73 and concluded with shloka 92, which is a subdivision of the grand topic of anatma. So we are discussing the topic of anatma. In this, the first topic that was discussed was the sthula sharira. So in shloka 123 only, the anatma topic will be concluded. So from now on, from shloka 93 onwards, the second part of anatma, namely the sukshma shariram, the subtle body, is going to be taken, which grows from shloka 93 to shloka 107. In Tattvabodha, actually, we had only a one-line statement regarding these things. That one line of Tattvabodha is now expanded so much in Viveka Chudamani. First, the Acharya enumerates the various constituents of the Sukshma Shariram. Sukshma Shariram is a huge bundle of instruments, like for example the toolbox that we have, using which alone we interact with the external world. That is why in Tattvabodha, Sukshma Shariram was called Bhoga Sadhanam, instrument of interaction. Physical body was called Bhoga Ayatanam, that like a working office, and the subtle body has 19 instruments of interaction. And the first five of them are called Jnana Indriyani, instruments of knowledge, to receive inputs from various Vishayas outside, for receiving information from the external world. Then the Karmendriyani, the organs of action, to give things back to the world. Here he calls Buddhindriyani in this shloka. Here Buddhi means Jnana. What are they? Shravanam refers to the ear, the organ of hearing. Then Thvak is skin, the organ of touch. Then Granam is the nose, the organ of smell. And Jihva is the tongue, the organ of speech. And Akshi is eye, the organ of seeing. Here what we have to notice, when we say eye, ear, nose, thvak and all that, we are not talking about the visible eye and the visible ear. They belong to the sthula shariram known as golakam. I have already introduced this word earlier. We are not talking about that at all here. But behind the golakam, the power of vision or shakti, that is called indriyam. Always we have to note that Golakam belongs to the sthula shariram, the grass body, and the indriyam, that belongs to the sukshma shariram, the subtle body. So these are five invisible power of perception. And why they are called Jnanendriyani? Vishaya avabodhanat. Because they reveal sense objects and produce Vishaya jnanam, avabodhanam. They are the entrance gates, actually, for receiving information from external sources. So, Jnana Janaka Indriyani, Jnanendriyani. Not only that, there are further how to put the Indriyas to respond to the world. Long ago, there was actually a report in Reader's Digest. Swamiji used to quote this. There was a person who lost all organs in an accident, except his eyelids. His eyelids can function. So he wanted to still write a story of all whatever he had gone through. So people around him, they got an understanding with him. They would show the letters of the alphabet one by one to him. When he winks once, the letter is taken as appropriate. Otherwise, that letter is dropped. When we hear all these, we should really wonder how much we should be thankful to the Lord for us to have all our sense organs functional. And the organs of action, karmendriyas, they have the output job. So the jnanendriyas have got the input job and the karmendriyas have got the output job. They are exit gates. And so they are as important as jnanendriyas. They are also as important. So the second half of the shloka that enumerates the karmendriyas. What are the karmendriyas, the organs of action? Vak. Vak means the organ of speech. Then pani, the hands. Padaha, the legs. Gudam, the organ of excretion. And upastha, organ of reproduction. Again, when we talk about hand, legs, etc., we should understand we are not talking about the physical hands or physical leg, but the functioning power behind them or the shakti behind them because of which I am able to move the leg or move the hand. If one has a paralytic attack, for example, the hand, the golakam, the sthula shariram, grass body hand is intact, but the pani indriyam is affected by prarabdha karma. The person is not able to move the hand because of the paralytic stroke. In the next janma, the pani golakam may go away, but pani indriyam will continue. Suppose one asks, will it be defective in the next janma also? It depends on the karma. What kind of karma one has done, it can be defective or it can be in good condition. So if the karma is not an obstructive karma, the pani indriyam will be functional again in the next janma. Even though he lost it in this janma, it can become functional in the next janma again. So these five karma indriyani, they contribute to the external world. So when I talk to you, for example, my karmendriyam is functioning. And when you listen, what happens? Your jnanendriyam is functioning. When I eat, I am using the same tongue, but I use it as a karmendriya. The tongue alone can function both as a jnanendriya and karmendriya. When it speaks, it is jnanendriya. And when it does the action of eating, it's a karmendriya. So then why we call them karmendriyas? Karmasu pravanena. Because of their function of doing action. Pravana means inclined to, disposition of performing action. In Sanskrit, so karma janakani indriyani karmendriyani. That's how they are defined. So jnana janakani indriyani, jnanendriyani. So we have now got 10 karmendriyas, karmendriyas 5 and jnanendriyas 5, 10 of the total subtle indriyas. Shloka 94. Nigadyate antakaranam manodihi ahankritischittamiti svanrittibhi manastu sankalpa vikalpanadibhi buddhi padarthadyavasaya dharmatah. So all this information are already given in Tattva Bodha and are given in Viveka Chudamani with lot of additional information, some like a commentary explanation. So this is the magnified version, as I mentioned many times, magnified version of Tattva Bodha. And the one main difference is what? Tattva Bodha is in prose form. Here it is in poetry form. So it can be sung also. We are now entering into the next four organs, namely Manaha means mind, Dhihi is buddhi, intellect, and Ahankritihi. Ahankritihi means Ahankaraha, the ego. And Chittam. Chittam means memory or the subconscious or the unconscious. In psychology, it's called unconscious. And these four organs are called so because of their function. Swavrittibhi. because of their particular function. So it's like in Tamil, we call it karanapayar, because of that reason. It's given the name. Here the vritti is pravritti or vyapara, the function that is mentioned. All four put together is known by a common name, antakkarana. Antakkarana means inner equipment. There is no English translation for antakkaranam of Vedanta. He says antakkaranam nigatyate. Antakkaranam is referred to by four words, manaha, buddhihi, chitta and ahankara, based on their functions. From this, the author conveys another important idea also. Even though we use four different words, they are not four different organs, but they are only one and the same organ. For example, it is called mind when you have doubt or when you have emotion. And the very same mind is called intellect when you are assertive. And the very same mind is called intellect at that time. If you are doubtful whether to listen to the lecture today or not, then that is the function of what? Function of the mind. When you decide to log on and listen to the lecture, then the same mind is called intellect, the buddhi. Before listening, you remember the day and the lecture. That is called chitta. That's the memory. And when you say, I have logged on, that self-referring mind is called ahankara. So these are the four things: mind, buddhi, chitta, and ahankara. It is like, I myself am called father, I'm called the son, I'm called the teacher, husband, based on the function. They normally give actually a quiz. In a room, there were two fathers and two sons. And the total number of people were there, how many? They asked the question. It's a quiz we can ask ourselves. There are two fathers and two sons. How many people are there totally in that room? There were three people: grandfather, father and son. But when we say five jnanendriyas, they are separate five instruments. So antakkaranam is only one, but with four functions. That is why he uses it in singular. Antakkaranam nigadyate manaha buddhihi ahankritihi chittam iti swavrittibihi. Now he is defining the function of each one of them. What is manaha? What is the mind? Manaha tu sankalpa vikalpanadibihi. When antakkaranam is doubting, sankalpa vikalpa, when it is doubting, why? If you analyze the process of doubt, there is always more than one view. If you say there is only one rope, then it is knowledge. One view only. Suppose someone says it is only a snake, that is also one view only. But we call it an error in Vedanta, called viparyayaha in Sanskrit. That is, rope is knowledge, that is snake is error. Only one view in both the cases. Whereas, what is defined as doubt? Is it a rope or is it a snake? Is it a garland or is it a streak of water? When there is more than one view, in Sanskrit it is called dvikotikaha samshayaha. Doubt is when there are minimum two views. And one opinion is called sankalpa, the other opinion is called vikalpa. Any one view can be sankalpa or vikalpa. So sankalpa vikalpaha means samshayaha, in the haunts of a dilemma. Adibihi means etc. Not only doubting faculty is mind, even emotional faculty is also mind. So raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, all these are all emotional states. They are also mind only. So the words sankalpa and vikalpa, one cannot literally translate into English. Join them together and translate them if you want as doubt. And what is buddhi? Buddhi is padartha adhyavasadayaha buddhihi bhavati. Parartha means anything. Adhyavasadayaha, decision, determination. One makes a decisive statement. This is so. So the dharma or faculty of decision with respect to anything is called buddhi. the faculty of decision. Here, dharmataha means is a tritiya arthe, third case here. Because of that faculty, the same instrument gets the name intellect. So both of them are same, but when it is decisive, it is called intellect. When it is doubting, it is called manaha, mind. Shloka 95. Atra bhimana dahamityaham kritihi swarthanusandana gunena chittam. Now, ego or the ahankara, that is defined here in this shloka. Aham iti abhimanat ahankaraha. Faculty of self-reference. By self, we refer to either the physical body. For example, I am sitting here. This is self-reference. I don't refer to anything else. I am sitting here. But my own body only I refer to here. Or refer to any one of the sukshma shariram also. Faculty. For example, I see, I smell. That is also self-reference only. That self-referencing faculty. So when you say there is pot, then what do? You refer to pot. But when you say I see a pot, then what do? We refer to ourselves as a seer of the pot. So what kind of self-reference it is? As a pot seer. That is through the jnanendriya of I. Similarly, when you say I am doubting, then self-reference is through what? The antakaranam, the mind. So the doubting I, the ascertaining I, they all focus on what? Focus on the subject, I. So the word atra here in this shloka means what? Either the sthula shariram or any organ of sukshma shariram, any indriyam. So the identifying function is called ahankara. We have to understand this difference, subtle difference. That which identifies with the 18 organs, that is the 19th organ, the faculty. So in the sukshma shariram, there are 19 parts. So that one identifies with the 18 organs, the 19th one. That is called that faculty. So atra abhimanat. And how is this abhimana? Aham iti abhimana. Saying I see, I hear. I taste, instead of saying my eyes see, my ears hear, my tongue taste, I say I see, I hear. So what is that faculty which makes one to identify with that organ? Only done by an ajnani, we have to understand. For a jnani, all these things don't apply at all. So that faculty is called ahankaraha. Then what is chittam? It is subconscious or psychologically unconscious. So swartha anusandana gunena. It is the faculty of retrieving the idea and experiences acquired before. A fantastic faculty like a computer. According to science, we seem to use only not even 5% of our memory. This is the power of anusandana. Swartha. Swartha means its own experiences, ideas, information, pain, pleasure, all those which are all bottled up in the deep mind and brought back. So anusandhana is the retrieval of all those consciously or unconsciously, voluntarily or involuntarily. When this retrieved information is all negative, it is called kashaya. That's a word for that. Kashayam. People, they give kashayam. It's supposed to be very bitter. Chittam refers to everything, good and bad. And kashayam refers to all bitter parts of chittam. Bitter parts of memory, which affects every person. So, guna means faculty. So, that retrieval or unconscious faculty, that is chittam. Shloka 96. Pranapanavyanodhanaya samana bhavatya sau pranaha swayameva vritti bedad vikriti bedad suvarna salila divat. This shloka appears to be in prose. It is also poetry only, even though it appears to be in prose, it is also poetry only. But there are two kinds of poetry in Sanskrit. One is called Samavritta Shlokaha, which can be sung and set to a tune, and Vishamavritta Shlokaha, which are like prose and cannot be sung. This is one such. So the next five organs known as Pancha Pranaha. Here also Shankaracharya says that like the antakaranas, the inner equipments, these five also are not five different organs, but the same faculty functioning in five different ways, five different functions. So there is only one prana, but with vikriti bheda and vritti bheda. There are two differences, vikriti bheda and vritti bheda. So vikriti bheda means what? Manifestations. So vikriti bedaha means distinct manifestations, and vikriti means karyam, and vikaraha refers to the manifestation, and with respect to each manifestation different functions are there. That is vritti bedaha. So with respect to each manifestation there are different functions. That is vritti bedaha. So here vritti means what? Pravritti, function. It is not thought. So normally we use vritti in the context of thought. Many times I have told it like that. But here in this case, it is pravritti, it's not thought here. So five names because of five manifestations and five functions for the prana. And what are the five names? Prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. Prana refers to the respiratory system or power. And apana refers to the excretory system. Vyana refers to the circulatory power, the circulating the nutrients through the blood and all that. And udana refers to the reversing function, like vomiting, throwing up, all that. In vomiting, natural process is reversed. It's not normal. Generally active during the time of death. During the time of death, as one ages, food is not accepted by the system. The Upanishad says, atyate atticha bhutani. Atyate ticha bhutani. Taittiriya Upanishad. Food is nourisher in the early ages, but is a destroyer in the later age. Every bit you put in the mouth, one has to be very careful. So slowly reduce the intake in old age. So utkramati anena iti udhanaha. Ud means utkramanam. Life is going to leave the body. Whatever faculty is responsible for it is udhanaha. And samanaha. Samanaha means the power of digestion or assimilation. All these five are the five manifestations of one and the same prana tattvam. So asau pranaha. This one prana, because of five manifestations or five functions, bhavati, becomes prana, apana, vyana, udana, and samana. This one prana becomes five. And Shankaracharya says, if you need help to conceive this idea, I will give an example. He gives an example in this shloka itself. He says, suvarnavat salilavat. Suvarnavat means like gold. One gold can have different manifestations, names, etc., like bangle, chain, ring, necklace, all one gold only. So rupa bedat nama bedaha, and nama rupa bedat pravritti bedaha api bhavati. So functional or karma beda also come. So name, form, function, all those differences come, even though it is one goal. And second example is salilam. Salilavat. Salilam means water. What one water itself, when it flows, we call it a river. When it is in a pool, we call it a well, tank, lake, ocean. When it pours down, we call it rain. So there are nama bedas, rupa bedas, and function bedas, karma beda. We are counting them also. There are 50 rivers. There are 30 lakes. There are so many waterfalls. All one water only. So how many organs so far in the Sukshma Shariram we have seen? Five Jnanendriyani, five karmendriyani, chatvari antakaranani, and pancha pranaha. So all put together 19. In tattva bodha, the antakaranas were given as two only, mind and intellect only were given there. So the total sukshma was counted as 17, but here we are giving as 19, including chitta and ahankara also. So we have got 19 organs counted here in the in this particular context in Viveka Chudamani. Shloka 97. Vagati pancha shravanadi pancha pranadi pancha brahmukhani pancha buddhyadya vidyapi cha kama karmani puryashtakam sukshma sharira mahuhu. Now we are discussing the subtle body, the sukshma shariram, as part of the main topic of anatma. We saw that there are 19 parts of the sukshma shariram, namely 5 jnanendriyas, sense organs, 5 karmendriyas, 5 organs of action, 5 pranas responsible for 5 different physiological functions, and 4 antakaranas or inner equipment, making a total of 19. And Shankaracharya now, he is going to regroup these 19 into 8 groups. All these 19, he is going to group them into 8 groups here and names them as Puri Ashtakam, 8 cities. Puri means city. 8 cities put together called Sukshma Shariram. So looking at the Sukshma Shariram in a different angle, calling it a total of made up of 8 cities, 8 Puris, which is an unique presentation of Viveka Chudamani. It was not given like this in Tattvabodha. Only in Viveka Chudamani, the Acharya gives it in this manner. And what are those 8 cities? Vagadi Pancha, 5 Karmendriyas, beginning with the organ of speech, Vak. Vagadi Pancha. And this is not counted as 5, but put together as Puri number 1, city number 1. All these 5 put together, city number 1. And Shravanadi Pancha, 5 sense organs starting with hearing, Shravanam, Puri number 2. Actually, this is another uniqueness in Sanskrit language. When we say Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, there Shravanam refers to what? To the process of hearing. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, Shravanam refers to the process of hearing. Whereas Shravanadi Pancha refers to the instrument of hearing. Not the process of hearing, but the instrument of hearing. We should know how to interpret by deriving the meaning properly, called Vitpatti Bedaha. So through derivational differences, one has to get the meaning difference. If derived as Shruyate Anena Iti Shravanam, it is the hearing instrument. It is called Karana Vitpatti. So this is city number 2. So city number 2 is this. And then Pranadi Pancha. The 5 pranas put together is Puri number 3, city number 3. When we say city or Puri, they are all residents of city number 1, 2 or etc. So then Abhramukhani Pancha, Abhramukhani, the 5 subtle elements which are the raw materials of the subtle body. The subtle elements are the raw material subtle body. Abhra, Abhra means Akasha, and Abhramukhani, 5 elements starting with Akasha, the space. So, Apaha, Jalam, Bibarti, Iti, Abraha, which holds water as cloud. Abraha, which holds the water as cloud. So, look at the derivation of Akasha as what? As water holder. It holds water contextually. Cloud is also called Abraha, and so is Akasha. Ocean, cup, flask, they are all water holders, contextual meaning. So Abhramukhani, Akasha, etc. So the 5 elements, not the gross 5 elements, one has to be very careful. These are 5 subtle elements, which are the raw materials of the Sukshma Shariram. So it is Bhutapuri is number 4. We can call it Bhutapuri elements. Then Buddhyadi Chatushkam. Buddhyadi, 4 antakaranas from Buddhi, that is Puri number 5, city number 5. That is Buddhi, Manaha, Chitta and Ahankara, not counted as 4, but together as city number 5. Then Avidya, Avidya means ignorance, or in this context, it is translated as Adhyasaha. Avidya is translated as Adhyasaha here, confusion or superimposition. In Vedanta, Adhyasa means superimposition. What is that? ఆత్మ అనాత్మ కన్ఫ్యూషన్. ఐ మిస్టేక్ ది అనాత్మ యాజ్ ఆత్మ, బై విచ్ వి మిక్స్ అప్ ద ప్రాపర్టీస్ ఆఫ్ ఈచ్ అదర్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, బాడీ ఈజ్ జడం, బాడీ సపోజ్ బి ఇనర్ట్, బట్ వి మిస్టేక్ ఇట్ యాజ్ సెన్షియంట్, చేతనం. సో వాట్ ఈస్ జడం? వి మిస్టేక్ ఇట్ యాజ్ చేతనం. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ సెన్షియన్సీ దట్ ఐ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ దట్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు వాట్? బిలాంగ్స్ టు ఆత్మ విచ్ ఫ్లోస్ త్రూ ద బాడీ. సో ద సూపర్ ఇంపొజిషన్ నంబర్ వన్ ఇస్ వాట్? ద ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు ది బాడీ. దట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ బాడీ, నేమ్లీ లిమిటేషన్, దట్ ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆత్మ. సో దిస్ మ్యూచువల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ వన్ ప్రాపర్టీ టు అనదర్, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ టెక్నికలీ ఇన్ వేదాంత యాజ్ అన్యోన్య అధ్యాస. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ వెరీ కామన్, ది కామన్ రోప్ స్నేక్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ హియర్. వెన్ ఐ సే స్నేక్, ద ప్రాపర్టీ ఆఫ్ ద స్నేక్, నేమ్లీ పాయిజన్ ఎట్సెట్రా, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు ద రోప్. అండ్ ది ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద రోప్, నేమ్లీ ది ఇస్నెస్, ద రోప్ ఇస్, దట్ ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు ద స్నేక్, స్నేక్ ఇస్. సో దిస్ మిక్సింగ్ అప్ ఆఫ్ రియల్ అండ్ అన్రియల్, సత్య అనృత మిథునీకరణం, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అన్యోన్య అధ్యాస, విచ్ ఇస్ ఎ వెరీ హ్యూజ్ టాపిక్ ఇన్ వేదాంత. హియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ అవిద్య. అవిద్య మీన్స్ పురి నంబర్ సిక్స్, సిటీ నంబర్ సిక్స్. అండ్ ద సెవెంత్ సిటీ, సెవెంత్ పురి ఈస్ కాల్డ్ కామహ. కామహ మీన్స్ డిజైర్. ఈవెన్ దో ఆల్ ఇమోషన్స్ ఆర్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్, kama is specifically taken here because ignorance or superimposition gets immediately converted into kama. So all these discussions are all a little intricate. The ignorance or superimposition gets converted immediately into kama, and kama alone later manifests as what? As krodha, lobha, all those things. This will be analyzed later actually by the Acharya himself. But here we have to note that all these three, they go together. What are those three? Avidya, Kama and Karma. This triad is often referred to in Vedanta. And how they go together? When I know that I am Atma, I don't mix up with my body. When I know I am Atma, I don't mix up with my body. And I have the clear knowledge that I am the consciousness pervading the body and I am not the body itself. When I have the clear knowledge, this is what I understand. Once I know that, I also know that limitations of the body is not mine. Limitations belong to the body. I am the Chaitanyam. I am the Atma. It doesn't belong to me. We have given the example earlier of the light pervading the hand. It is not confined to the hand. It is outside the hand also. We have given this example earlier. So when I know I am the consciousness, I not only pervade the body, but I am outside the body also. That means I am the limitless consciousness. Whereas the body is limited, whereas I am the limitless consciousness. When I know I am the Atma and I own up my Purnatvam, the moment there is confusion called adhyasa, the problem is what? When I do not know the consciousness pervading the body, I will take myself as the body, enjoying the property of consciousness. We have seen these things in some other context. Consciousness will become an incidental property of the body. And who am I? I am the body who has the incidental property of consciousness. That is what I will think. Once I am the body, the Purna I is gone and the Apurna I is born. Once I think I am the body, the Purna, naturally I am Purnaha, but that is gone, the Apurna I is born. So the birth of the Apurna I is purely because of what? In this case, avidya, because of ignorance. Thus, avidya generates an incomplete I out of the complete I, the consciousness. By myself, I am complete, Purnaha Vastu. But because of this avidya, I consider myself incomplete. So the job of avidya is generation of the incomplete I. I am originally complete. But the avidya, job of that is to generate the incomplete I. So the complete I is called Atma, and the incomplete I is called Ahankara, the ego. Once ego, the incomplete I, is generated, the whole biography starts. The moment I feel incomplete, what do? There is a struggle, because this is an unnatural condition. Naturally, I am complete, but now I think I am incomplete. So that is an unnatural condition. So I am complete only is natural. And whenever an unnatural condition is there, there is always a struggle to revert back to the original complete condition. Just as when you keep an ice cube in a room temperature. Ice cube in a room temperature is an unnatural condition. So it goes on melting to become water, which is in room condition is the natural condition. Because water is natural condition at room temperature. So I cannot accept a localized or a limited or a confined I. I cannot, because I am Purnaha. So that is why sleep is very comfortable to me. Because in sleep, I don't have a limited or a localized or a confined I at all. So unlocalized consciousness is experienced in Sushupti, in deep sleep. And so there is Ananda. So in deep sleep, there is Ananda. So we are ready to sleep anytime. To get up is the problem. So the incomplete I, the ego, is a rebel. And so it will always struggle to become complete. And how long it will continue to rebel or struggle? Until it is reconverted to complete I, the Purnavastu. But the problem is what? The ego does not know how to reconvert. The only way of reconversion is what? Remove avidya, remove the ignorance. Because avidya only has converted within inverted commas, has converted the complete I to an incomplete I. No one else can. But this ego does not know that, and that is why the ego thinks. What does it think? Adding things, acquiring things, adding relationships, that will expand me. So the bachelor I wants to become an expanded I by becoming a grahastha I. Remember, for the husband, wife is an expanded person, and vice versa, same way. And I want the wife or husband to operate as I want. It's like the third hand. I want the wife or husband like a third hand. That means I am expanding myself in the name of family. That's what I do. Swamiji tells it very nicely. You know, in Sanskrit, we have got aham, avam, payam. Singular, dual, and plural. So, avam, and that is when I get married, and vayam, 1, 2, 3, etc., when I get children. So, all these struggles for expansion, in which the incomplete I wants to become the complete I, this struggle is called kama. So, avidya will necessarily lead to kama, because avidya generates incomplete I, which will continue to struggle, because it wants to complete. And the beauty is what? The finite incomplete I, adding any number of finite things, will continue to be only what? Finite only. It can never become infinite. So all these karmas struggle that never ends. So actually there are a lot of movies, you know, Payanangal Mudivadillai. In Tamil, there is a movie like that. So Kama, Swamiji says, all these movies, they are all only our own biography, most of the people. So Kama leads to karma. Struggle for completion leads to varieties of actions. Some people, they add physically through people, you know, add relationships and all. Some people add emotionally. They ask for love, they ask for care. Some people add to intellectual eye, yearning for knowledge. All are struggling for what? To complete the I only. And all these struggles come under karma. And Shankaracharya calls all the three as puris, cities. Avidya puri, Kamapuri and Karmapuri. So all these put together, Ashtapuris, what are they now? The eight Puris, eight cities now, as Shankaracharya said, Jnanendriya Puri, Karmendriya Puri, Pranapuri, Bhutapuri, Antakaranapuri, Avidyapuri, Kamapuri and Karmapuri. All these eight together is called the Puriyashtakam. Puriyashtakam, and what is this? Shankaracharya says, Sukshma Shariram Ahuhu. This eightfold city is called the Sukshma Shariram, the subtle body. Shloka 98. Idam Shariram Shrunu Sukshma Sangitam Lingam Tvapanchi Kritabhuta Sambhavam Savasanam Karma Palanubhavakam Swagna Swagyanatonadi Rupadiratmanaha. Shrunu. Shrunu means listen. Shankaracharya wants to make sure that the student listens, not sleeping. He listens, so he wants to make sure. So, idam sukshma sangitam shariram lingam. This sukshma sharira, this subtle body, is known as linga sharira also. Linga sharira. It is called sukshma sharira because it is invisible. It is subtle. We don't see mind. We don't see ego. Has got another name also called Linga Sharira. This Sukshma Shariram is called by another name, Linga Sharira. Linga means what? Linga is an indicator. In Sanskrit, it's like a clue. It's like a symbol, like a mark. For example, from the footmarks in a forest, we can infer that an elephant has gone. That footmark is called Linga. So is the smoke. When there is smoke, we infer that there is fire. So, Lingate. Nyayate anena iti lingam. Ling means to know. And linga means the clue to know. And why Sukshma Sharira is called the linga? You have to understand that. To indicate the presence of the conscious principle. Because it is capable of manifesting consciousness. Only the Sukshma Shariram, the mind alone, is capable of manifesting consciousness. Even though Sukshma Shariram, the mind, is inert matter, this Sukshma Shariram is unlike the Stula Shariram, the grass body. The Stula Shariram, the grass body, also is inert. And what is the difference between the Stula Shariram and Sukshma Shariram? Stula Sharira cannot manifest consciousness. That is why a dead body is dead. If it can, it won't be a dead body. Whereas Sukshma Sharira is also matter, inert matter only, but it is a finer matter. So it is capable of reflecting consciousness like a mirror. Sand and mirror are both silica only, but mirror can reflect, not the sand. Similarly, Stula Shariram is gross matter, Sukshma Shariram is subtle matter, capable of reflecting consciousness. And reflection indicates the original. How do we know Atma Tattvam? Mind is matter. And the material mind has to be conscious. It must be because of somebody's blessing. Then only it can become conscious. Because it's a material mind otherwise. That is why in the Ramayana, there is this Sugriva and Vali story. Sugriva challenging Vali. Told by Vali's wife that there must be something behind this. Similarly, if the inert mind made of mere matter has to be sentient, then it also should have been blessed by a Rama behind, the Atma Rama, the Chaitanyam. And Vali's wife did not see Rama, but inferred Rama from Sugriva. Sugriva is like the Sukshma Shariram, subtle body, the Linga. And Rama is the Atma. Similarly, Shivalinga is a symbol to worship the Lord. So, to worship an all-pervading one, we use a symbol, a lingam. That is why we worship all beings as symbols indicating the Lord. And this lingam is born out of what? Apanchikrita Bhuta Sambhavam. That means mind is a matter. Only thing is a finer matter, capable of reflecting consciousness. And what is the raw material out of which this Sukshma Shariram is made? That's the question. Shankaracharya answers that it is also born out of the five elements only. Exactly like the physical body, we saw it earlier. This is also matter born of the five elements. Generally, people think mind is a conscious entity. But according to Vedanta, mind also is inert. It has only borrowed consciousness. That is why they say mind and matter in science. We don't accept that idiom at all. Then why there is a misconception? Mind appears as though it is non-matter. Why? Because it has permanently borrowed consciousness, which appears natural. It has borrowed consciousness permanently, which appears as though natural. Therefore, there is this delusion. And what type of matter it is? Apanchikrita bhuta sambhavam. Apanchikrita. Subtle. That is, you know, when we saw the definitions of the sthula shariram, we said panchikrita panchamahabhutaihi kritam. So this panchikaranam, that is the grassification. We defined it at that time. Grassification from the five elements. But here it is not. Is by the subtle elements here. Apanchikrita bodha sambhavam, subtle. The sukshma sariram or mind is a subtle matter born out of subtle five elements. Then savasanam, it is very complex matter. Mind is a mystery. The scientists know brain, but whether mind and brain same or different. If different, where is mind located? Lot of opinions. But there is no firm finding at all. So mind is a very complex instrument. That is why we are not able to master our own mind. But what we try to do? We are trying to control the other mind. Mind of a wife or husband or children. What a peculiar thing it is. We cannot control even our own mind. We don't even understand our mind. Not only the mind experiences the world through the jnanendriyas, it has got a wonderful ability of registering and storing the experiences. That is a great ability. Like a videotape. And these registered experiences, they are called vasanas. All these experiences registered in the mind, they are called vasanas or samskaras. And how many video CDs are in the mind? Innumerable. You cannot even know how many are there. And you can remember or replay everything just through a mere tap. One can do that. Remember, this is not just from one birth. From so many previous janmas and the future births also, if any, the same recorder, the same mind is used, and so it is called savasanam. Full of vasanas. Vasanam refers to vasanas. Full of vasanas, registered experiences. All the registered experiences, samskaras. Not only gross things are registered, even subtle emotions are registered and remembered in the mind. In fact, when you remember the world, the word of a person, somebody told you something, you remember the anger also with which he expressed that word. Your anger gets activated by that. Similarly, the death of someone near and dear several years ago, just the recollection now brings even physical tears. So, sa vasanam. Sa means full of, full saturated with. It is called subconscious. In psychology, it is called deep unconscious, whatever it is. So, in some cases, the events may be forgotten, but the event produced emotion that remains. Someone, for example, has insulted a person or rejected a person. So the person has the feeling of insult. But after some time, the person might forget who rejected him or insulted him. But the event itself, the sense of rejection that I am not wanted, that continues in the mind. And he projects that at whom? That his wife or children or somebody else. This is called transference in psychology. These are all unique faculties of what? Of the sukshma shariram. So, savasanam. The next is what? Karma pala anubhavakam. Its causes, the experience of all karma pala. Sukshma sharira alone makes me bhokta, the enjoyer of karma pala. Earlier, we saw it as karta, the doer. Now, it is bhokta also, enjoyer. What is the proof? During sleep, the Sukshma Sharira is resolved. I don't have happy or unhappy experience in deep sleep. The Sukha and Dukha Anubhava, that is because of what? Sukshma Sharira only again. So it is called Karma Phala Anubhavakam. Anubhavakam means causes, the experiences of Karma Phala. And this Sukshma Shariram, how long have I been carrying this? I know how long I have been carrying the Sthula Sharira as the gross body, because there is a date of birth, I know that. But how long I have been carrying this Sukshma Shariram? He says, Anadi Atmanaha Upadhi. It is a beginningless medium for the Atma. Anadi Upadhi. That is, in the previous Janmas also, I have used the same subtle body only. I have changed what? Only the Sthula Sharira. I have changed only the grass body, but the same mind continues with all the vasanas. And what is the proof for that? Of course, the Shastram is mainly there. Shastra says so, so I believe it. And we have got supportive logic also. Every prodigy in every field is a proof for the continuity of the Sukshma Sharira. Every prodigy in every field. There is a musical prodigy at the age of 3. His own brother has none actually, but this child has all that. Both are born to the same parents. How to account for this? Only when it continues from the Purva Janma, the previous Janma. And when did it start? It is Anadi. Nobody knows. Even during Pralaya, I continue to have my mind. Even during Pralaya, the Sukshma Shariram continues to be there. Even during Sushupti, deep sleep, I continue to have my mind. Only thing is, the mind is non-functional and it is in potential form, in dormant form. Upadhi. Upadhi means the medium of operation or interaction. Atmanaha Upadhi. Not only it's a medium of interaction, it is a medium of identification also. Why so? I don't say the mind is disturbed, but I say I am disturbed. I don't say my mind is disturbed, I say I am disturbed. So it is not only it is functioning factually, but operationally I identify with that and I say I am disturbed. Because of what? Sva ajnanataha. Because of ignorance. The instrument mind becomes the subject I. Because of ignorance, I confuse the mind with myself, the Atma. Not only beginningless medium of interaction, but of identification too, because of self-ignorance, avidya. So that is with respect to this mind, how it is the avidya causes this entire identification and the problem accompanying the identification. The next shloka discussion will take some more time. So I will conclude it here and we will take it up in the next class. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthita.